Tonight, if you look closely, you will find blood all over the place in our liturgy, the hymns, and the scripture readings. The sight of blood makes many of us squeamish. Perhaps the bloodiness of our readings strikes you as even a little strange, unsettling. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and look beyond all this blood by hearing the Word of God, you'll find that there's more here than meets the eye. Our Old Testament reading sets the stage for the first Passover. The Lord had sent 9 plagues on Egypt. The Passover marked the 10th and final one. To every house that was not protected by the blood of a lamb without blemish, the Lord came and struck down the firstborn sons. But on the other hand, the Lord caused the destroyer to pass over houses marked on the doorposts and the lintel with the blood of a lamb. This was such a momentous occasion that God commanded his people to celebrate the Passover annually as a memorial event. Moses told the people, "When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" From Exodus chapter 12. But when the world takes a close, hard look at the Passover, many see only and dwell only on the blood and the violence. And it might cause some of them to stumble. It shocks our anti-violence tendencies. What kind of God would execute such a wrath against even helpless children? And doesn't it seem a little morbid or even cruel to memorialize such a bloody, gory event? But let's take a look deeper. There's more here than meets the eye. After Moses announced the institution of the Passover, we are told the people bowed their heads and worshiped. They recognize that when the Lord speaks his will, the only proper response is worship. The Passover is all about the first commandment: "You shall have no other gods." The Lord had said concerning the Passover, "On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." The 10th plague was divine warfare against God's enemies, against the Egyptian idols and false gods and the oppressors of his people. And later in Exodus, God says this, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." That means that under all this Egyptian blood, you will not see innocent victims, but impenitent sinners receiving just judgment from the one holy God. And all of God's acts of judgment on idolatry, from the flood to the Passover to the conquest of Canaan, are intended to warn us about the consequences of idolatry and impenitence. They are the previews of the final judgment. You also should see that this judgment is what we deserve and more. For our idolatrous sins, for every time we have not feared, loved, and trusted in the Lord your God with all of your heart, we deserve for the destroyer to come and spill our blood on the ground. Well, our soul is taken swiftly to hell for eternal punishment. Our Lord is not a tame God. The apostle known for writing about God's grace, St. Paul, also wrote this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." From Galatians chapter 6. For their own sins, the Israelites deserved the same fate as the Egyptians. But now look at the blood of the Passover lambs and see more than what meets the eye. To the naked eye, the blood of the lambs and the blood of the Egyptians would appear to be that same sticky red substance. But God attached his word of grace to the lamb's blood and gave his people a means of salvation from the destroyer. Under the blood of the Passover lambs, you do not find any merit or worthiness in the Israelites, but only the promise of deliverance from a gracious and merciful God. So the Passover was to be celebrated by Israel above all as a remembrance of his election of Israel and of his protection and salvation of them from their enemies. Later, the Lord would attach his word of forgiveness to the blood of lambs, goats, and bulls in the sacrificial system operated by the priests in the temple and in the tabernacle. Through the pouring out of the blood in the most holy place, God provides a means of cleansing and forgiveness for all of God's people. As the Epistle to the Hebrews says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And this leads us to more than what meets the eye in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It was a Passover meal, so Israel's deliverance from Egypt was in the background. And recently, the shed blood of the Passover lambs would be fresh in the disciples' minds. Surely they had celebrated this meal dozens of times with their family from childhood on, and they knew the Passover liturgy by heart. But though they knew what was coming as they celebrated it with Jesus, there would be way more here than meets the eye when Jesus, the Lord of Israel incarnate, revises the Passover liturgy. St. Mark writes, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them. So far, so good. No surprises there. But here's the bombshell. Jesus said over the bread, take, this is my body. The disciples probably looked at one another with bewildered phrases, glances. Then Jesus seems to slip back into the regular liturgy. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Okay, that's still normal. The disciples probably looked at each other with much relief. Perhaps they had just misheard Jesus earlier. But then, Jesus says another bombshell. Jesus said to them, this is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Or as some preferred to translate the Greek, poured out on the behalf of the masses. Once again, Jesus boggles their mind. At this unprecedented Passover meal, Jesus teaches three things to his disciples. First, that in a short while, his body would be given and his blood would be shed on the cross. And that under the apparently senseless slaughter of an innocent man, they should see death as a ransom for all of humanity, for all the sins of the world. This is God's final judgment on sin. And from that day forward, the only sin that condemns us to hell is idolatry, but specifically the idolatry of rejecting Jesus and his death for the life of the world. Secondly, Jesus teaches that in this mysterious and supernatural way, there was more than meets the eye under the simple bread and wine of an ordinary Passover meal. Now, by the power of his word, the bread was truly his body, and the wine truly was his blood, given to the disciples for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Further, by his words, do this, he instituted the Lord's Supper for the church to proclaim his death until the end of time. And thirdly, Jesus was teaching them that the Passover and the sacrificial system of Israel were types or a foreshadowing of his once-for-all sacrificial death on the cross. But now these Old Testament ceremonies must give way to the New Testament in his blood. John the Baptist had pointed to Jesus and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Later, St. Paul would write, "Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." At the Last Supper and on Good Friday, John's preaching was fulfilled when God's holy, spotless Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, finally offered his life as a ransom for the masses. So sinners don't have to get what they deserve. Instead, we get what Jesus has earned for us. Everything in the Old Testament was pointing forward to the coming of the Lord in the flesh as the Messiah to redeem his people and win forgiveness for not just Israel, but for Gentiles, for us. There's another peculiar part of the Old Testament that finds its fulfillment and explanation here. The Lord had told Israel, if any one of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. From Leviticus chapter 17. The blood of the animals in the Old Testament was reserved for the atonement for people's sins. But the prohibition on its consumption would end with the institution of the Lord's Supper. The New Testament in Christ's blood. Now and until Christ returns, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ would be sacramentally fed to God's people in, with, and under the wine of Holy Communion. And what is it, especially in the blood, that doesn't meet the eye? It's life. Life. The blood of Jesus delivers us to the forgiveness of sins and serves as the antidote to death. God said the life is in the blood, and that is what Christ's disciples receive as the life-giving blood of Jesus is drunk by us in the Lord's Supper. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. For as you come in faith to Jesus to feed on his body given and his blood shed for you, Jesus promises us this: whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. From John chapter 6. This truly is more than meets the eye. Amen.